What's up, everybody? It's Keith from the Stream Team. With me, as always, Chris Lowry and Cole Miller. And today from the runway, we are going back to 2012. We're going to roll it. I'm inverted. Are we gliding? Flight.
We're going to roll it. I like how he says roll it.
Roll it. Trying to calm down Ken and also Margaret at the same time. And man, it's just, there's a lot going on.
I'm the only person who can do it. That's the only voice that can calm me down like that.
Man, yeah. How nerve-wracking that scene is, was. There was a lot going on in that. And that scene was like 13 minutes long.
Yeah.
It was the first 30 minutes of this movie might be peak cinema. It might be the best we've ever done in a movie.
It's up there.
And I know that's a wild thing to say. And I think that what sucks about it is the next 2 hours that precede this is just fine. And that is a real bummer. There's some really high highs and there's some really low lows. Yeah. And I don't mean that this movie's bad, because it is not. But the greatest set piece we've probably done on this pod helps carry a whole lot of fucking weight.
Yeah.
It's just tough to follow that up, right? I mean, it's the Shang-Chi effect, right? Like, the bus was cut in half way too soon.
Way too soon, man.
But it's Robert also...
Robert Zemeckis has some restraint, because I would have had like 57 flashbacks. That if I filmed that...
I'd have just kept doing it.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, every 7 minutes, you're seeing a flashback to something from that. Fuck what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, he'd have been in the simulator doing it again. Like, I'd have had
100%. 100%. No, there definitely would have been a Top Gun scene where all the 10 pilots were going. There was just a montage of them trying to land that plane and crashing. And then he gets in after him and he does it in the simulator. Yeah.
It's like Top Gun Maverick.
Exactly like that. Yeah. And he gets in, like, all the pilots are all out and they're arguing like the semantics of landing in. And he gets in as everybody's arguing.
He just does it.
He calls Harling while they're over there arguing and does a bump real quick to clear his head.
Quick bump,
clear my head.
Clear your head. You ever seen go to jail? It's fucking genius.
It is, just like Chris said, Robert Zemeckis film. Zemeckis did Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, Castaway, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, amongst other movies.
He's got some bangers.
He does have some bangers.
Yeah. Roger Rabbit in this. That's all I tell people. I've literally. But like, just like, fuck with people. Like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Who Framed Robert Rabbit? I thought I could talk about it. I can't.
Sorry. Roger. Yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit in Flight? That's all I tell people at the bar.
That's what I
directed a cartoon. I directed a cartoon baby smoking a cigar and Denzel Washington.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some of the people
also
I've worked
smoking
with
a cigar.
Also, yeah. And doing lots of drugs, player.
Lots of money.
Doing a whole lot of drugs. But 2012, runtime of 2 hours and 18 minutes, a budget of $31 million somehow, and did $161 million.
Planes are expensive.
Planes are expensive.
Very odd.
Especially when you run one through a church.
Yeah. That wing should have snapped off and then everybody would have been fine. But I guess the budget didn't call for that wing. That wing snapped.
What's that movie cost today? Both those numbers seem very low.
Very low, especially on the budget side.
Right. And it's like, I can see, I guess it's one of those times where you have to like remember how much money $31 million is. I'm like, actually, okay, good point. But just like relative to, the ballooning budgets that we see for better or for worse now, $31 million feels like they had enough to film the actual landing. And then like everybody else is like, everything else is free. Like everyone's working for free.
Literally.
That is kind of what happened in this movie though, right? Like all the set pieces were pretty plain. Like they had some cool stuff. Like, don't get me wrong, but a lot of people's living rooms, a lot of hotel bars, a lot of hospital beds. Like, most of that stuff was set, that was probably on the fucking studio already from Grey's Anatomy or something. You know what I mean? Like, they probably y'all done with these? Like,
Cessna?
Yeah. Like, that one might have been, that was like $10 million of the budget and they just borrowed it from Tom Cruise. So it was like all good.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I do feel like the what we probably would see, to answer your original question, Chris, is just a lot more VFX stuff, and it would have cost a lot more, and it would have looked worse. There was actually some scenes in this that you could tell they probably could have spent another $5 or $6 million on, but honestly, like, to pull off what they did, this movie looks really good.
Yeah, a lot of it went to the plane crash, I believe, which makes sense. I mean, it looked really good, and with it being upside down and having Katarina and the other, the girl, the other flight attendant who ended up passing, having them upside down and knocked down, all those other things. Like, it was pretty harrowing, I'm not going to lie to you. I just forgot how nerve-wracking that particular scene was, and it's just been a little while since I'd seen it. So I was a bit sweaty during that plane crash, but I don't know that I've ever been calm while watching one either. So I don't, it's really hard to say. But Rotten Tomato score 77 to 75. I think, like, the fair score. I always feel like every Denzel movie should be higher than that, just because, again, and we've talked about it in the text thread, but every time I watch a Denzel movie, I'm just compelled to watch the rest of his credits. So I'm just like, what else is streaming? What else can I find that I can watch him act in? But he was, of course, he was really good. I really enjoyed it. A great cast. Of course, Denzel, arguably the best name in movie history, Whip Whitaker. That name was just freaking great.
Whip Whitaker's pretty
Whip
great.
Whitaker, yeah.
For a captain, like, come on.
Yeah, no, it's freaking awesome. We have, of course, we have John Goodman, who we talked about in Raising Arizona, and now we're back with him.
Another, like, you just put
Another
him in a
good.
movie if you want to be nominated for an Oscar.
He was in
Just
two
just
scenes.
John Goodman.
And, but it felt like he
We
was
mentioned
in
this in the Raising Arizona pod, right? We mentioned this
Was
in
I,
this?
I maybe. Yeah,
I
we
think
did.
so.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Chris or Keith was saying that if you tell me John Goodman was the best part about Flight, I
Yeah, no,
wouldn't
I
argue
was.
with you.
I'm all in. All in on Goodman. I was just like, he was the best part of Roseanne, of course. And, like, that's not a hot take or anything. He's just incredibly talented. I mean, he just comes in, he's like, I'm on the list. Harlan Mays, I'm on the list. Like, he's just coming in, he's just
Keep
doing
your
his
hands off
thing.
the fucking what is the merchandise. Yeah, he
Yeah,
lost
no,
his
it's a
shit.
bunch of fucking merch.
He lost it on that
Bro walked in there. He said,
dude.
"Can you rustle us up a couple of daiquiris and a cocktail weenie? I can just bring the booze. I got
Yeah, I already have the
weenie."
weenie. He said, CeeLo, can you watch the door, please?
He said,
When he
"Y'all,
stood there just looking at
after
him.
Denzel did his bump, he said, y'all are up." And they're like, "Oh, never, no, never mind." Denzel was like, "Shit, I'll do
I'll do it.
it. I'll go again."
When you
So
stood there
y'all's
just looking
turn.
at him. After he pulled away and said, "Don't touch the merchandise," all I could think about is Tropic Thunder last week, where we were talking about, God, I can't think, when, like, Robert Downey, like, after he was talking to him, he just, like, stood there and made the face or whatever,
Oh, the face. Yeah,
standing
yeah,
for
yeah.
him.
He's like, well, enough with this business script. Let's spit that shit out,
Just
man.
put that shit
He's just
out,
like
man.
staring. Now that's all I can think about. People just like staring at each other in the movie. I just think about that and start fucking laughing. Like, nothing
Oh,
about
dude,
that
yeah.
scene was funny. That's the very first thing I thought about. And I was like, fuck, look what you've done, Cole.
Hands off the merch, man. You just like, just the stares at him.
Oh, shit.
Really would have capped that scene off is, like, after he said that. After he did that, right before, right after Denzel does his second bump, then we have Jeff Portnor's Fats comes in there. He's like, if I rises don't get fragged in this bullshit valley, first thing I'm gonna do is pay my 2 months so I can watch Brooklyn Bust and Jerry or the sweet little mama son, Dinky Down Poontang.
What
You pull it up this time?
Why is he here
I
for? I
100%
have to say, he missed like one word every time last week. You spit that shit out perfectly. I'm like, what the fuck? How did he improve so much in
Ain't
one week?
nowhere in there, man.
Yeah, I had to, man. So I was just like, what did he say in that scene? So I
I was
actually,
struggling saying bread earlier, and
I
Keith's
had
just
it
like, let
queued
me
up.
say 9 words that aren't real in a row.
I had it queued up just in case I had an opportunity to use it. I didn't think we'd be this early in the pod where I actually
Yeah, that was
could do
early
it.
on.
So that was great. I'm glad I got it out of the
Oh,
way, because
man.
I was gonna have to force it and rinse due somehow.
Y'all remember, like, so when we first started doing this pod, it was like peak COVID. And
Yeah.
you remember, like, what the kind of narrative is like. What is it going to be like to try to go back to normal life after COVID? Like, how are we going to, like, go and see each other? Is it going to be weird? Stuff like that. I felt like that this entire week about this pod, like post Tropic Thunder. What is the world going to be like after that? And like this whole time, I'm like, are we going to make references anymore? Are they going to hit it the same? Like, are we even going to be friends anymore? Are we going to like each other anymore? Right, like, yeah. What's the world going to be like after like post Tropic Thunder? And so far, it's just about like it was before. So that's good.
We still got it.
Yeah, it's still fine. Right. Yeah.
Time magazine cover. Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
It feels pretty good. So
next steps.
It does help that we could shoehorn in that Fats quote. So now I feel pretty good.
Actually, yeah, I feel really good after Tropic Thunder. It hits. I think that one definitely hits better post Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it's like that first tackle during football, just to get just to wake up a little bit. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. So
now we're game on. We can make it happen now.
Get
but
your first concussion in, so you don't have to worry about it again.
The CTE really sinks in. You know, now I can actually focus.
Don't you?
I can focus now. But good cast, of course. We have Don Cheadle in it, John Goodman. So Kelly Riley, my freaking guy, Bruce Greenwood, a guy who just has credits on top of credits.
He's the man.
He's never just been a top, like an A-lister. But, dude, every time he's in a movie, he's incredible. He's so good. Arguably my favorite role of his was Admiral Pike in the Star Trek reboot movies.
Yeah, he was really fucking awesome. He's also really good. I think he was the president in the second National Treasure.
Does
that sound right? Like he, it definitely wasn't the first one. He didn't meet the president in the first one, right? So then,
no.
Yeah, I think it was the second one. Anyways, fantastic president. I would, I'd vote for him right now.
Oh, every time, man. He'd be like, he would just have. What do you think would be his stance? What would he run on? You think?
we'll do that another pod on that one.
I reckon we'd get gas prices.
I got some thoughts.
I can say that much.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm cool with it. Just as long as he was like, Walmart's back 24 hours again and the price of eggs are down, I'm like, fuck, let's go.
Let's go, dude. Yeah.
Because military spending, you're not going to be happy to hear about it, though, unfortunately.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's
Cole, you were correct. He was the president, and it was just that was just his name in National Treasure 2 is the president. He wasn't even President Jones or President.
I don't
Williams.
Think they ever said a different. Yeah, I think they literally just called him the president. Yeah,
just
now that I think about it, he just called him Mr. President the whole movie.
That's not real.
Yeah,
that's him, man. But just a great all around cast. So I know we've talked about Denzel's credits, and we're not going to run through the full gamut. However, I feel like I need to name a couple. So this is just from 06 to 14. And, you know, at this point in his career, he's well established. He's been acting a very long time. And it almost seemed like, you know, an actor or a performer should be at kind of the twilight of their career where they're just kind of doing some things. And just like, I just want to stay kind of sharp, but it's not going to be my best work. 06, he has Deja Vu and Inside Man. 07, he has American Gangster and Great Debaters. 09, Pelham 1-2-3. 10, The Book of Eli and Unstoppable. 12, Safe House and Flight. 13, Two Guns. 14, he starts the run of the Equalizer movies. I mean, this guy is just like, he's inevitable, man. It's just
he's kind of just doing stuff at that point, too. You know, like Book of Eli was, that is a shocker. Like when you really go back to that movie. Yeah, that's like peak just doing shit. And like, I don't dislike it. You know, it's not a bad movie, but it's not it's definitely one of his weaker ones, I would say. But
I love it.
It's wild that, but you would say it's one of his weaker ones though, right? Like even though you like it.
The ass kicking portion of his career, right? Like he gets into the like Liam Neeson taken kind of part because he's doing that in Safe House where he's the mercenary, him and Ryan Reynolds, and he's doing that in Two Guns. Of course, Equalizer, we know what he's doing. So he's really leaning into like, I'm just going to beat everybody up.
Yeah.
Regardless of how old. Yeah. So,
money to travel cool places and whoop ass. That sounds pretty good.
I'm down, man. But we know what we're going to get with Denzel, right? We know that we're going to get an outstanding performance. And, like, just right out of the gates, he's in the hotel room. He hasn't slept or minimal sleep. But as soon as the movie starts, he's waking up and drinking, like, a room temperature Corona or whatever that was.
Straight off the fucking nightstand, man.
Answering the phone and firing up a cigarette and, you know, getting into the cocaine. So it's just like, bam.
How does that make me a liar?
Right. And then he's on the phone and he's arguing with Giselle, you know, like, what is her name? The lady, the actress who played his ex-wife, I can never pronounce her name
I
right.
don't know.
Anyway, she was in the Jamie Foxx show. She was fancy, but anyway, he when we just got a clinic from him right from the jump, and we're
Oh, yeah.
always to be expected. Cole, with watching him, we know what we're gonna get. And for me, it's just like watching a Denzel movie. I'm more so it's like, okay, what's everybody else gonna do? Because I know what we're gonna get out of him. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, for sure. And like this one is interesting because it does feel like it was kind of in that realm that you were talking about, Keith, where he was just like whooping people's asses. And then he took a movie where like he played a seriously troubled person that he
Very.
definitely, or the character is severely troubled, right? And it doesn't seem like that Denzel would have played a part like this at this time. So I do feel like all of the stuff that you get from Denzel, the charm, the oh yeah, he's going to take care of this situation, all of that is very viable. And when I think about this movie, what really impresses me about this performance is there just aren't a ton of people that I think could that you would believe as an addict and as someone going down this path that they're going on that could also save everybody by inverting an airplane. Like there just really aren't a lot of people that have that skill set. And I think that that's the thing about Denzel that is particularly interesting because it's funny, we were talking about range earlier. I do think that this is a very different part than the ones that he normally plays. And I'm actually kind of
100%.
surprised that he does it. Like the I get why he did because he gets a chance to show his chops and then he also gets one of the coolest set pieces and gets to be perfectly himself. Like when he has what's her name talk to her son into the bot, like he it's
Yeah,
just
Margaret.
he's so in control, and it's one of those guys that you're just like, yeah, we're gonna be all right, you know? Like it's just something that Denzel has. And you're right, Keith, like every time that he's in a movie, you know what you're gonna get from him. It's gonna raise the performance of the, or I guess the score of the movie to a certain point, right? Like no Denzel movie is going to be bad, even the bad ones, like we would say air quotes, because he's so good. There's only so far that the movie can be bad, regardless of what the rest of it is like. You know, it's kind of like having LeBron on your team. You're going to make the playoffs. It doesn't mean that you're going to win national championship, or it doesn't mean you're going to win the NBA finals, but you're going to make the fucking playoffs, right? And you're going to win X amount of games because you have him on the roster. And Denzel's like the ultimate dude for that.
Yeah, and I feel like that, and Chris, we can talk about this. We make a lot of Chappelle references, but whenever he was going through the different trial sets, and we got to the R. Kelly portion of the course, and he's like, "My blackness won't allow me to say that he was guilty." Like that's how I feel when it comes. That's how I feel when it comes to Denzel movies. Is like if somebody's like, "Yeah, his movie's good or bad," I'm always like, "Yeah, it was good. It was either I'm like I'm either like it was awesome, it's pretty good, or it's good. I'm never gonna go below that, even if I feel like the movie isn't good, just because." Like even if the product isn't great, his performance still was. And
He
so
was
like,
good in it. Yeah, it
right.
doesn't
I was
matter
gonna
what it
say that's
is.
the pivot.
Exactly.
That's what you say. Like if it is like stinky, like you turn around and say is like it was cool to watch Denzel. Denzel did his thing as always. Like you don't mention the movie at all. The only time I came close when I watched The Little Things because I was mad. But like other than that, you show me Denzel movie, I'm like, no, Denzel was good in it though. I was like, I don't talk about what I think about the movie at all.
And he was good in that one.
He was good
He
in that. That movie was
was.
weird,
but he was good in it.
yeah, it was so weird. It just there was no payoff for me, and I was
That
just waiting
cast
for it
was just
to happen.
so strange. It was like, quick, who's hot right now? Get these three guys
Yeah.
in the movie together now. Like there was like nothing about them. There was like no chemistry. It was just who are three names that people are searching on Twitter a lot. Fuck it, call them.
Yeah, let's get
Yeah,
them up
that
right
one
now.
might actually just actively be bad. I may have just blocked that one out of my head. Yeah. That might be Denzel's one blemish. Yeah.
Yeah, the one out of
It
his
was
1,000.
COVID, so, you know.
Some good memes out of it though. So Oh, 100%.
in every battle there's a victory for me.
Yeah,
Didn't
but
Jared
that's.
Leto get like a Golden Globe nom for that?
Yeah.
Something crazy.
Something weird. It was, man, it's weird, man. Like, there was.
He got a very hard like Oscar nom like push. Like obviously he didn't
Yeah,
get it, but
people
like
were
before
trying
your
to. Yeah.
consideration, I was like, boy,
Yeah.
y'all are going very crazy with this FYC campaign. That
Y'all
means
really
it's
lost your
about
fucking mind for a
yeah,
minute.
let it go.
We were
Let
inside
it
for too
go.
long.
Yeah,
Oh, cabin
cabin
fever had
fever
set
will
in for
do.
a lot of people. Yeah.
Brains are fried.
But yeah, I mean, just like you're saying, Chris. I mean, that's just how I feel whenever it comes to his movies. And even just like Cole was saying, it's actually a question that I had typed out was like, is there, and not trying to like recast the movie, but I just don't believe anybody else in that particular role when it comes to all the things that he was struggling with. And then still being able to land that plane with only 6 casualties, or like Don Cheadle said, only 4 casualties because the crew doesn't count, which is, if crazy. That's honestly true, that is the coldest shit I've ever heard in my life. If that's the case, like crew doesn't count as casualties. But anyway, mm-hmm. I don't know that I could believe anybody in that regard. Like even that, even though he's battling substance abuse, alcoholism, and drugs, like still believable that yeah, he could still, regardless of whatever condition he's in, he could still land that plane and keep more than 90% of the people safe or alive.
The only person that I think, and this would have had to have been a while ago, it would have been like peak Harrison Ford. That would have been a close representation of this, because there are some times where he can play a pretty raw character. He's got the charm. He's got the kind of energy, the kind of guy that turns into a room and his dick's already been there for 5 minutes. Like he's got that too, like Denzel. But I don't know that the substance abuse would be wouldn't work quite as well as it would with Denzel.
I'm trying to think, and I'm getting a bunch of guys who could sell like the charisma aspect of trying to calm everybody down and seem like the badass to land the plane, but I can't really think of anyone who could
to be the raw
balance both.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, so it's like I can't think of anyone. There are, again, there are a couple people who could do like the badass borderline hero aspect of it, if, at least in that scene, like, you know, even like a Will Smith, or he can just do that kind of like charm, that kind of thing that we do see him do.
Be a great pilot, movies.
But he can't. Like the other part, it's like,
you don't believe it.
The rest of the movie too,
and it's actually kind of weird that he has been in a movie where he's played a pilot, like a commercial pilot. Yeah, I know he flew in Independence Day, but a commercial pilot, because I feel like a lot of that is charisma and like getting on the microphone and be like, this is your captain speaking. We are now. We're not flying over the Appalachian Mountains. If you look to your right, and you'll also see my ex-wife's house, and it makes like a joke about that or something. Anyway, it's just really odd, but that's about the only person I feel like I could believe with the substance abuse, and then also keeping crew and also all the passengers calm as well throughout the rest of that. But other than that, like,
that scene there's no one that could do it better. Even if you found an alternative, there's no one that while you were watching that scene would have that impact on you like this performance did.
Right. And it's putting is good, but it's not my nana's, you know?
So didn't Tom Hanks kind of do this movie like without the substance use, or he tried to carry
Sully?
Yeah, but he wasn't. And Sully was a good movie, man. Like, that wasn't even, that was a solid film, but it was not this.
And also,
this was, you were not supposed to leave this feeling good.
Yeah. Also, a true story, man. Yeah. So it is one of those cases where he's playing out the realistic events, you know? And I know that he's also acting, but still, like, that's just what it was. But I mean, yeah, we knew what we were going to get from him. It tackled a lot of heavy topics, of course, substance abuse being one, religion being a main focal point in this, and that's something that's actually pretty heavy in Denzel's personal life too. I know that there's a lot of movies where religion does play into it. Of course, we talk about Book of Eli, and amongst others, where he does mention, you know, his Bible studies or anything like that, or losing faith. Even we talked about it in Man on Fire, where at the beginning, Christopher Walken was like, "You think God will forgive us what we did?" And he's like, "No." And then, you know, the portion, you know, he gets about halfway through the movie and he's, you know, looking through his Bible, things like this. So there is some aspects to that. And Connor, you're saying this is an odd role for him to play. And we've seen him play the bad guy / anti-hero, but he also does, he also punishes those people too. Of course, talking about him as Lonzo in Training Day, that he won his Oscar for. And, you know, he was an actively bad person, but he also was shot 491 times at the end of the movie too. Spoiler alert, sorry. But it is, you know, you think that that is an active choice for him to make sure that we know that this bad person needs to have some kind of consequences. And it's not like, because he easily could have walked away at the end of this, been unscathed, but he decided to punish this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the movies that he makes have a bit of a tragedy to them. And I think that this movie was meant to experiment with what seems to have been a very important topic to him. And like, I don't want to make assumptions about what Robert Zemeckis' life was like or any of that sort of stuff. But you can tell all of the addiction stuff seems to be extremely well done, and it seems to be extremely important because of how often he brings up the situations where it is someone who has an opportunity to not be that way, but they can't not destroy a situation, right? And that is one of the key pillars of addiction that any book you read about addiction, it's the inability to not make the bad choice. And this movie experiments with that to the highest extent, because there is an opportunity for him to be good. And even when or not, that's a terrible word choice, but for him to make the right decision. And he very purposefully makes those shots thrilling, and he makes those shots that he uses, like the vodka bottle on top of the fridge. All of that sort of stuff is like a bait and switch, and it's meant to, because it's supposed to give this harrowing kind of feeling to it. And so it's the movie could, if he would have just lied, wouldn't have had the impact that it does, right? Because when you left this, you felt like a big bag of shit. First time I saw it, I was like, fuck. Like, this was like, all of this is such raw. And these are like very serious topics. I know we're a more of a fun-based podcast, and we don't necessarily want to get into all of those sort of, you know, the troubles of addiction, and especially a lot of people's whose lives have been ruined by them. So if it seems like at any point we're making fun, we are not. There are just things in this movie that are meant to make you feel a certain way. And they do an exceptional job, because it does, again, seem as if that is a very important story for them to tell. And I think that the Denzel aspect of it, too, it must have been important to him to some extent, or he wouldn't have done this movie. And I don't, you know, there are quite a few stories about Denzel, and he has an interesting, you know, history of letting things get the better of him as well, and, you know, making better of his life because of it. And I think that you can just tell that the two people that the main parts of this movie found that to be extremely important, and they wanted to tell it, but they wanted to tell it raw and realistic.
Right. And speaking to the realistic part of it, I think you nailed it on the head, because there were several opportunities where he could have not had a drink or made the right decision or just been like, yeah, I'm good now. And it'd been like, you know, a 5-day, 7-day, 10-day period. And people who have either suffered from addiction or have been around somebody suffering with addiction have been like, that's just not the case. It's not how it goes. And it needed to be more realistic, like him going to the AA meetings with Kelly, or excuse me, with Nicole, or him, you know, going out to his father's house or the farm. And, you know, at first, like, as soon as he went out there, he poured out everything. And then, you know, like almost the next scene, he's drinking again.
Buying it all again.
The thing that happened whenever he met with Hugh and with Bruce Greenwood's character, I can't remember his name, was Charlie. Charlie, yeah. So meeting with them obviously is going to drive him to that point where he feels like he needs to. I mean, he went and got, like, of course, like, as soon as he left there, he got the orange juice and the double stoli, right? Like, he hadn't even left the hotel, and he was already doing that. So a very realistic look at how
somebody took that down in one fucking drink, too.
God, dude. Like, like, it made my throat burn just watching that scene. But somebody who is suffering from dependency, that's exactly how it would go. And there are several, like, peaks and valleys when it comes to that journey of trying to get away from it. So I think it was important to show that ugly side of it. And I don't know that there's somebody better to show how ugly it can be than somebody like that. But, you know, transitioning to Nicole Kelly Riley's character, Chris, you know, having her kind of abruptly enter, you know, Whip's life as well. And of course, she was in the hospital, and she had OD'd herself, and then having that really pivotal scene early on, where we have the cancer patient who meets him in the hallway as they're smoking their cigarettes. Man. And he's, you know, he talks about her life, or, you know, them, how things don't happen haphazardly anymore. And, you know, like this whole meeting is not a coincidence. Like, he's like, you got this beautiful woman in the hallway right now. There's a reason why she's here and you're here. He's like, man, you're that pilot, you know? And he goes on his whole rant about how every morning is special. There's no such thing as accidents. Like, that, you know, if that's one of y'all's best scenes, I would be like, yeah,
I get it. So fucking good. I don't know who that guy is. And I
His
like,
name is James Badge Dale. I have to look him up.
yeah,
His
that's it. Respect James
movie.
Badge Dale.
What
Yeah,
other
Pete, show up and do some stuff and leave.
credits does he have? Anything?
He
I
had,
couldn't
man,
recognize him.
he has some, well, but yeah, so he generally obviously doesn't look like that playing a cancer patient. He's not going to
Sure.
look like a D1 athlete, but he didn't have a ton of credits that I recognized because I was like, man, who is this guy? He was just like to be on screen with Denzel and Kelly
And
Riley and
not
Robert
fucking
Duvall.
scared.
Yeah,
He
no. The whole
filleted,
time
man. He
looking
was
at
just
him.
like, yep.
He was like, people either are drawn to me or they pretend that I'm not in the room. And I was like, shit, dude. He's like, do I do that with people? You know, like it made me like I was doing a
Yeah.
lot of self-reflection with that scene. But Chris, talk about that scene in general and then just the insertion of the Nicole character into this movie and just how important she was in all of this.
I mean, to start with the scene, the scene is like incredible for just a lot of reasons, right? Like as you were saying, you know, he shows up. It would be very easy to come into that scene like, okay, this is where we're going to have one of the first turning points for a Denzel Washington character, and to like shit your pants and like, oh, I'm going to make a, he's going to have like three lines and he's going to blow me out of the water and I'm going to make a fool of myself because I have to talk for, you know, 3 minutes straight in this scene, and then Denzel's going to say one line and make me look like I have no idea what I'm doing. And to just come in there, like you said, and to just, I'm sure that, you know, he probably was a little bit nervous as an actor and he probably talked with Denzel and they worked some stuff out on how they want to play this scene. But to, as it looked to us, show up with no fear and just jump right into those lines and crush them like that and convey that message, like in that kind of scene, in that kind of setup, in that kind of shot, where we're at in the movie, like we're starting to really feel some of those, you know, like high strung emotions for Denzel's characters to do that. And just like took it and then just walk away is like, you know what I
And he
mean?
was
You
done. Didn't show up again. He was gone.
Nope.
you could have
Literally
told
died.
him that he was going to do that good of a job in that scene and he was going to just absolutely cook and people are going to be like, oh, that's a really memorable, touching scene over the course of this entire movie. And he'd be like, okay, you're lying to make me feel better about myself. There's no, I probably fall down the steps because I'm so nervous going on. It's like, no, man, you cook. So,
No,
like,
sir.
that
He
scene.
was he knew. Like, he was like, this is it. This is my spot. This is my opportunity. He probably like studied for months because he was
Oh
so
yeah.
good. Like, he had all
Oh
the
yeah.
emotions nailed. Like, he was awesome. That scene
That's a
is just fucking a lightning bolt. Like, obviously the set piece with the airplane is great. That is one of those that is just like, man, they were really on it.
like you said, that first 30 minutes got some shit in it. You're like, oh man, I don't know if we can make them much better than this.
Yeah, just wait a damn minute. And it's so innocuous too, because it's legitimately just three people in a stairwell smoking, but it turns into arguably one of the more pivotal scenes in the movie as far as like making that connection between Nicole and Whip, but also just like the different things that he's like as he kept talking, like I was legitimately like taking notes almost. It was crazy. It's just nuts. Cole, you asked about his credit. So he was in The Departed. He was Berrigan, who I don't remember. He was in The Gray,
Oh,
the.
yeah. Yep. He was one of the dirty detectives.
Oh,
He was the
okay, yeah.
guy. He was the guy who got shot at the end.
Yes, at the end. Yeah, yep, that's right. That's right. Because he, yeah, once he shot Leo, right? That detective. Okay, yeah,
I
got you.
think so. I think
Is he,
so.
yeah. I guess he, like you said, he just looks way different. So it's
Yeah.
hard to place him. He was in The Gray, the Liam Neeson movie in 11. He's in Iron Man 3 in 13 as
That's what I
Savin.
know from him. That's
He's
like
in,
I always recognize him
yeah,
from.
World War Z in 13, The Lone Ranger in 13. He's in 13 Hours in 16. He is so some good credits, like just like we're saying now, like, oh shoot, it's that guy. So he's kind of relegated to that role, unfortunately. But he cooked in this movie. I'll say that much. Like
Yeah,
he
he
would.
did.
Boy, his
That's.
energy is through the fucking roof. Like
Yeah. Oh
I'd
my
hate
God.
to be Mr. Go Watch Iron Man 3, but like watch it just for him and be like, oh yeah, he is insane. Like in that movie, he just has this like level of charisma and energy that is kind of similar to what he has here, but obviously he's not playing somebody dying from cancer, but he's got something else going on. And you're like, this dude is a fucking
I
lightning
don't
rod.
remember
Why
him in
isn't
Iron
he
Man
in
3.
everything?
Was he
He's on like the
the
bad guys,
soldier
and the guys are gonna
that
shoot
the
fire.
was he the soldier that Guy Pearce was using, or one of the
Yeah.
soldiers? Okay,
Yeah, he was one of those guys. Yeah.
yep. I know. I remember him now.
And
And see,
his
that's what I'm
charisma and his energy are like, shit. So
Man,
Robert Downey
yeah,
Jr. might want
he's.
to turn it up a little bit, buddy, because and I'm not saying that as a joke. There's like a
Not
moment where you're
even.
just like, you might have turned that Tony Stark dial up a bit because it is not looking good for you.
Yeah, buddy, we might want to get you to, yeah, just dial it up a little bit, RDJ.
Mm-hmm.
Get us going. But just again, talking about Nicole and just her struggles, we got a peek into her life and the things that she was struggling with. Obviously, she had the scumbag a landlord, and she had the dependency issues herself. She shows up early on after the initial crash. We see her journey. How important was she to Whip, but how important that she also remove herself from that situation, given what she was also very recently struggling with.
Yeah, and I mean that's what you would want someone to do, right? Like if you're someone who's in her life, or if you can hopefully just be her and get in the right headspace, you would absolutely get away from a person like that who you see just continuing to spiral and is constantly bringing around the drugs and the alcohol that you're trying to, abstain from and trying to, improve your own situation. But how important her character was, it's weird because when you see her in the hospital, obviously there are two people who ended up in the hospital with near-death experiences in very different ways, but from very similar means, just their addiction, right? So it's like it's interesting that they both kind of end up there as a result of the same thing, but one of them OD'd and one of them, crashed a fucking airplane. And then like as it's going on, you think it's just gonna be like this like odd reflection to where like she's gonna just constantly be getting worse, and you're gonna see the Denzel character, okay, maybe he gets away from her, or maybe this is the mirror that he used that helps him get himself together. But it's like, no, she ends up being the person, like she sees her reflection upon him, I guess. Like she ends up being the one who does get it together and ends up leaving rather than like getting worse. And I think that's interesting. You would think that you would use a character like that to kind of add some more trauma, maybe to like do this other thing to just kind of really drive it home that he has a problem and like I don't want to end up like that. And, that took her away from me, and that just took her away from all other people. I don't want that to happen to me as well. But it kind of ends up being just the exact opposite. And I think that that's interesting too. Like, I really do think that I like that that's what they do with the character. It's probably not as revolutionary as I'm making it sound, but it's just like when you've got Denzel and you've got a character who is this tortured, like, you would think that that would be one of those things that they would do, like, to have him suffer that loss and to end up going back to drugs, despite that, right? So I really like her inclusion and the way that she kind of mirrors him in like the best of like what his life could be like, obviously, and then it just doesn't go that way.
Yeah, she was really good, and I actually really like,
Oh yeah,
again,
she was phenomenal. I forgot to mention that and all that. Sorry. Doing all
she's
that
so
yapping
good.
and didn't mention how good she was.
And it's so hard to
Kelly
see her
Riley,
because
yeah,
she's
she's
cooked.
got
Every
it,
time I
man.
see her, I think about Watson, her being Watson's wife, Jude Law's wife in the Sherlock Holmes movies. But she, of course, was just really incredible, and it was just it really showed the where she was in her journey. It's like she just needed to remove herself from that situation, and as badly as it hurt, it needed to happen, and I actually, again, one of those realistic aspects of addiction and dependency and recovery. And she just, she recognized quickly, because he would, I mean, of course, he'd be fine, and he would drink and say ugly things or just make her nervous. And she's just like, yeah, I can't be here anymore. And left, and good on her. And a lot of people would say, well, he's needed the help, but it's like, well, she also wasn't struggling with that. She may use that to help her cope while she's trying to help him, So that's something that helps was really good. And she absolutely cooked. And so, Denzel's going through this movie, and he is. So we see the bad side of him. We see him, of course. He goes to his ex, just shows up to his ex-wife's house. He's doing different things. He's asking Margaret at the funeral. He's asking her to lie and say it was a day just like normal, whenever she knew what condition he was in. When he got on the plane, he asked for coffee and three aspirin. He was like, he was asleep. Whenever she came back up to the cockpit, he was asleep, and she asked Ken and how long he had been asleep, and he's like, 26 minutes. Like he had the paper over his eye like that. So we see him just throughout the course of the movie, get into it with his son, do different things. But the scene in particular that really struck us, of course, after Ken is out of his coma, and we know what he's struggling with, right? We know that Denzel, while he is talking, and he constantly he remained that the plane was fucked, right? He kept saying the plane is fucked, it fell apart, it fell apart. That, my condition had nothing to do with what the plane was still going to fall apart regardless of the condition that I was in. But of course, we have Hugh fighting to get the toxicology thrown out and all that stuff. But going to visit Ken and his wife in the hospital, and that scene, and we just see the condition that Ken is in. You know, Cole, just kind of walk us through that scene just a little bit, just how strong of a scene that is. And then for him to say, for Ken to say, I didn't tell Block about, you know, because he said he reeked of gin when he came in, and the condition looked like he hadn't slept all day. It's like, I didn't tell him about that. How important was that for Whip to have Ken say, I didn't say those things to the NTSB?
It's kind of the conflict of the whole movie is that the only person that could pull it off was him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at 10%, 15% of what it was that he naturally could be able to do. So mm-hmm. the conflict has throughout the entire movie is of the people that are trying to justify that, yes, he may have been drunk and high on cocaine, but he's the only person that could have saved everybody on the plane. And like, of course, that does sound like a joke, but like, that is the conflict. It's like, okay, so we are going to be mad at this guy because he made a mistake. The only person that could have saved everybody on the airplane was him. And I think that this scene that they show is a culmination of that conflict. And because the character that was the most straight shooter, the most religious, like they use religion very interesting in this movie. And I do find it interesting because it does seem as if Denzel is a pretty spiritual person himself. And I do think that it is used oddly, I guess I'll leave it at that. But that scene is a culmination of that conflict. The person who can see what the ends were, and even though he was by the book, he knew that no one else would have survived and made it through it, and that he was able to reconcile with himself, that he thought that it was divine intervention, that God had put him in that situation because he's the only person that could have saved him. All of that stands to reason. It's kind of even maybe hard-handed, like they kind of shove that one down our throat a little bit at there. But what I do think that scene does particularly well is it shows that conflict that all of us are feeling the whole time. And it does it in a scene rather than just doing it throughout the movie, because this whole movie, we sympathize with Whip. Even though we know that the problems that he's facing, a lot of them are due to his own inability to deal with his sickness. And mm-hmm. so we can reconcile that and are like, okay, yes, we want him to be able to get away with this because he did such good by saving all these people's lives. And that scene is the one that I think is the first time in the movie, even with Margaret. Margaret is pretty close to this, but that scene is the one where it's just like, okay, are we giving him too much leeway? Because is there something that is he going to change if all of this kind of stuff is swept under the table? I know that was a really long answer, but that scene had an impact, I guess is the word I should use, because I did find it fascinating that all of those kind of like feelings that you had felt throughout the movie culminated in that scene, which I think was extremely powerful and told a super important story in this movie.
Well, that, and it was definitely a case where we all felt as an audience where as soon as he wakes up or as soon as he's out of his coma or well enough to talk, that he's going to say, yeah, Whip was, he was drunk or he was high or whatever else, and just tell the whole thing, right?
Because he was a straight shooter, right? Like, he was positioned as the person that was going to be by the book.
Yep. So as an audience, we're nervous that scene was going to be, he was going to say, yeah, as soon as I talk to Block, I'm going to tell her everything. And then he was like, no, I didn't tell her about your condition the day of the flight and all that stuff. So he just like, I just told him X, Y, and Z. And so then it puts us as an audience in a weird position. It's like, should I exhale? Should I be okay with that? Or do we need him to tell what actually happened so then he can get in trouble or get dealt with or whatever we want to call it? So it was a very pivotal scene, that scene, and then the scene, and Chris, I'll throw this to you, with Charlie, Hugh, and Whip, where they're at the wreckage and they're talking about they had a big break in it, but two airplane bottles were found in the trash can. And so it was like everybody's tox report came back clean except for two. And so, you know, then and then that's when Whip was like, we can this can save your life. And Whip is like, what fucking life? He's like, save the Union and save you. He's like, fuck you, Charlie, and just going on to Charlie and Hugh and all that. And Hugh's talking about how big of a scumbag he is. How big was that scene too, Chris?
I mean, it was huge, kind of in the same way as Cult. Like, it has you in this moment where you're wondering, like, where do I feel about this? Like, what do I feel about this guy? Like, am I comfortable that there's going to be something that happens that invokes like a change in him? Because it's so weird that him drinking truly just causes nothing on its own. You know what I mean? It's not like he was asleep during the actual flight and he like woke up as they're getting ready to crash. So, like, they dealt with the turbulence and he came out of it and was kind of as alert as, a person could be. I mean, even with being drunk, he was still alert enough to land the plane, right? So it's like him being drunk was nothing more than gonna have to be a punishment that he realized, like, on a moral level, because nothing really happened as a result of it. So when you get to that scene and they do kind of have this out for him, and of course, he kind of goes back and forth on wanting people to lie, and, I just want to get out of this, and like maybe I should face some kind of punishment. So when you get to a scene where it's like it's a clear as day out, and all they have to do is do a tad bit of, evil lawyer talk lying, and he kind of flips. He's like, what's the point in all this? Like, I feel like I'm getting off too scot-free. He's like, fuck you. It can kind of feel like they're trying to save face for themselves more than they are. People, like, when you've just got so much guilt, and like you understand, like, it's not fair that, even because, again, nothing, he got hurt in the crash, but it's like, drunk or not, he probably would have got those same injuries because they had to crash an airplane. You know what I mean? So it's like when you have that good of a getaway and you still feel all that guilt, I think that is just a powerful example of someone who just can't determine if they deserve to survive that, what their punishment is, just kind of freaking out here and that they're going to get off scot-free. Like, I know people probably watch that scene and they just don't get it. But like, if I was in that situation and I was getting off, I wouldn't be upset at all. But it's like, but man, until you have people die, on your, you have people,
That's on your
six people
conscience,
die.
right?
Yeah, like that, you know what I mean? It's like that survivor's remorse and all that. Again, she had been drinking as well, but it's just like, who cares that she was, I was the one flying a fucking airplane and I'm an alcoholic and all that. So it's like, you can say all you want that you would be in that situation and you would just, shut up and you probably wouldn't lash out in the same way, but I'm sure there'd be a moment where you kind of feel some strong sense of, I shouldn't be able to get off. Like, this shouldn't be happening. This isn't right. And I think that that scene, paired up with the other one, I think that just does like a very great job of showing this back and forth that this kind of person is struggling with and all that. Because, I mean, again, I know I said it's so crazy to think about that he was drunk and, on a little bit of drugs, I guess some drugs would roll over, and nothing happened. You know what I mean? Because, like, even if he's stone cold sober, I imagine those same six people, probably, like, everything probably goes the exact same, because it's the faulty plane piece, right? So it's like same six people maybe die. I think the only difference is they don't find the vodka bottles and it isn't as big of a debacle the way that it becomes. But like, when you just know that, like, I was, it's like ultimately like knowing that you were doing something that you shouldn't have been doing, like on top of the fact that he was struggling with being an alcoholic. It's just like, I got away with this fine. This didn't affect anything, but what the fuck am I thinking drinking while flying an airplane with 106 people on? So like, that is like always just a very fascinating part about this
It's
movie. Like, it is just,
brilliantly used because
it's
it's exactly
one,
what you're saying. It has nothing to do with the outcome,
nothing.
but it is one of those things that is so important and is so devastating because it does impact things. And so it's like one of those situations where you have to have that conflict where it's just like, well, it didn't, the plane fell apart and I happened to be drunk. But that's not me being drunk didn't make the plane fall apart. So it's like those kind of conflict that you have to reconcile. And like you're talking about, Chris, it's like, yeah, I still fucked up and I still could go to jail even though it wouldn't have mattered if I was drunk or not, which is a very well used tool that just is like devastating on like the audience watching.
You know what I mean? So
It
it's like
is
a kid doing
with
something
his
that no
blood
one
alcohol.
sees, but it's wrong. You know, like, you do something and your parents don't catch you, and obviously on a very larger scale, people catch you. I'm sure we've all had something that as we were younger, did something that we just had no business doing, and nothing came of it. And like,
And even though
it
you got
you know
away with it, you still felt like shit.
yeah like it's just like in your head like fuck why did I do that and so I think that's an interesting thing to explore with the backdrop of somebody who's like also struggling to be an alcoholic like it makes me wonder what if he hadn't been an alcoholic you know and it's obviously it may be different but what if this is just like a guy who just drinks occasionally right? Like there maybe was you know there was like some big event and that's when they drank a couple of nights before and then for some reason he was just really feeling himself so he had it like what if that was only his fifth or sixth time drinking ever right you know what I mean so it's like it's not like you're still struggling with the alcoholic but you're still just struggling with the fact that like why did I drink vodka before I flew a fucking airplane so like I'm
He made a
interested to
food
know
driver.
like what yeah like right yeah he made a drink he made a mix he
Sure
didn't even
did
just
while he
like
was
throw it at
talking
the
to
back
people.
he made a
He said,
drink
that's funny because there were three bottles.
There were three of them. Yeah, he's like, you only found two? He's like, well, I drank three.
So like I
Yeah.
almost wish I could like wonder, take a peek into a world where maybe not even necessarily in this movie, but a situation where it's like a guy who just regularly just does not drink, just has, you know, just does that. Who knows why, you know what I mean? Could be nervous, anything come up, like a guy who just does that in that one moment and still ultimately gets away with it. Like, do they also, you know, wrestle with that guilt and they're like, fuck, I need to go down for this, or they're just like, oh, I made a mistake one time, I won't do it again. I don't know. Interesting questions this movie leaves us with. Sorry for going on so long about that, but
No,
just
man.
everything about this is just so compelling and like beyond judicial justice. Like, what's your own morality going to tell you is like, what's justice to you? You know?
Well, I think that's just a sign of a good movie, right? Like there's several scenarios, and of course the larger plot, the larger theme of this movie is like has us doing some self-reflection. Obviously, we're not, you know, us three, we don't have chemical dependency, we're you know, drunk on the job or doing coke, but it's like, do we want him to get away from this scot-free, or do we want him to face his consequences? And ultimately, like you're saying, there is something that's like he could have gotten away with this, right? Like this is something. I mean, he was free, especially. I mean, there's a bombshell dropped at the hearing where we find out that she does have an alcohol dependency, and there was alcohol found in her blood, in her bloodstream too. So then he could have just said it to her and said it was her,
And
and I don't know
again,
that.
look at her, the hero who died because she got out of her seatbelt to help somebody else, right? To help that kid so she would save his life. So the layers of that complication of, okay, so why are, like, he couldn't fathom himself letting her get the blame because she didn't actually do anything wrong. Like she may have partied with him, she may have been drunk, she may have done all that sort of stuff, but she saved somebody's life, and letting her take the fall for it was just too much. And that is like one of those brilliant little nuggets, because like her getting out of her seat to save that kid's life, hugely important.
It was. Do we feel like he makes the decision at the end if they didn't have their physical relationship?
Because I think the
Oh,
speech at
yeah.
the end, him talking about the I just couldn't tell any more lies, I think would have probably still have
Hey, run
happened.
at the limit. Right.
Yeah.
He
He
just
said I
wrestles with
couldn't.
that kind of stuff so much that, yeah, I think he still does.
He said I
Because
couldn't
I
tell
don't
one
think.
lie. I'd reached my lifelong limit, is what he said.
Because I think that the for people with illnesses like alcohol addiction like that, I don't think that any of the other stuff would have mattered as much as getting away with the alcohol and lying about it. Like just that tends to be the cases like people thrown their entire lives away, stolen from their mothers, you know, their kids, stuff like that, just because they can't help themselves. So I don't think that would have been it. I think he had he would have recognized his limit as far as the lie thing,
Right.
regardless.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I'm with the right there with, I asked that because I knew the answer I was going to give. But I was going to feel like if that was a deciding factor or if he was going to say that regardless. But yeah, man, I mean, it is, it wraps with that and pretty big deal too, because he had every opportunity. He's fighting the entire movie saying the plane was faulty, the plane was fucked, it was going to go down anyway. And then we have Block at the end. I mean, she's really turning the screws on him, and he has an opportunity. I mean, he's up there, he's sweating, and I mean, he's given a one-man show up there himself in the middle of that hearing. But also, she talks about that jack screw and how the thread was worn down and how it had Oh, there were that there had been a
Man, I
there
was captivated by that part.
oh my God.
Her explaining what happened, I was just like, holy shit.
Oh shit, dude. Yeah. Like, yeah, it did have 1,200 more hours than it should have had on there. Like, I agree. She was exactly right. You know, like all those things that she was saying and how there was a maintenance request put in, you know, 10 years prior to that actually happening. So it was just there was just a whole, I mean, that itself in itself was another movie, you know, like that hearing in itself, because there were just people everywhere. There's the media, then we have Hugh and Charlie off to the side, and they're just like, man, we're all, you know, we're almost home. They're at the finish line, and he's like, God help me, you know, and he's going through his thing. And I was drunk
Yeah.
then,
Drunk
and
right
I'm
now.
like,
Drunk
you know,
right
of course,
now.
the famous line that he dropped, that Cold said at the end of the Tropic Thunder pod. But man, it wraps in that, and then, you know, he's in jail, and then he has a son comes, and he's like, you know, I've got this essay I got to write. It's called The Most Fascinating Person I've Never Met, you know, and then he has that opportunity to really get close to his son again and try to build a relationship that they never had. So there's a ton of moving pieces in this. There's a lot of very heavy topics, and you know, for a 2 hour and 18 minute movie, like, it does a pretty good job of addressing most of it fairly thoroughly. I think the Denzel punishing himself is a brilliant move, because I don't know, like, I don't know how it would have felt had he been like, yeah, it was her, she was drunk, I was sober, the plane was faulty, we see the data right here, we see, you know, the 3D reenactment of what actually happened, so, you know, yeah, let's go. And then he goes off and drinks again or something, and there's never really a, or does he, you know, does he go off and celebrate that night and get drunk and, you know, have a car crash, and then he's in jail because he hits a family or something. You know what I mean? Like, it goes a bunch of different directions. So
It's
I
just
am
disgustingly easy out too, because she was asking for like his
correct.
opinion, right? Like it wasn't like in an actual court, it was like a hearing, right? And she was like, in your opinion. And obviously, you know,
Yes.
they show the toxicology reports and there was enough there to you'd still be lying in a sense in how you'd be saving yourself, but to not even be completely lying on your assessment of her and get off scot-free. You know what I mean? Like he could have told what he understood to be the truth,
I'm
right?
not capable of
And
making a decision like that. I don't, you know what I mean? That's all you
you're
gotta
right.
say. That's it. You don't even have
Yeah.
to lie. You just like, but he couldn't even do that.
Exactly. Yes. Like that's it's like
He had reached his limit, man.
God been through the ringer.
Yeah, it was great. And again, I
You're
just don't.
tragic. You're right. That is what you could just say in that kind of, because it's, yeah, it's not an
He's
official,
not
like, you know.
qualified to make a decision like that. He's a
Right.
fucking
You could
pile.
ask me
He's
for my
not a,
opinion on that.
yeah, like, I
Right.
don't, again, God, that's not what my area of expertise is. I just landed a plane, saved everybody.
Well, let's say I
Yeah.
fly planes, baby.
Yeah.
I don't know
I just fly the shit.
if I don't read the script. Script read me, as he should
Yeah.
have said.
Airplane pilot. I just bought this straight path.
Yeah,
Who's
that
not
baby,
driving
yeah.
this truck?
Truck
Truck
driver.
driver.
I don't fly the plane flies me.
Exactly.
You know what he should have said whenever she was like, in your opinion, he's like, now it's just you and me, baby. We're going on up that hill.
We're
And she's
going
like,
on a
that's the
date.
theme song to the Jeffersons.
It's not true.
Just because the theme song don't make it not
Don't
true.
make it not true. What the
Yeah.
fuck?
For 400 years. So,
You're a
moving to the.
pilot. Be a pilot.
You a
Be a
pilot.
pilot.
Dude, excuse me, Sully. I don't know that I can name, so I couldn't
Man's a national hero.
I
That
couldn't
ain't fucking funny.
you about to cross some fucking lines. I don't know that I can name another pilot, another commercial pilot, so it has to be Sully for every reference. I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't even know any other, like, his name isn't Sully. It's
Sullenberger,
like,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
it's like,
that's all
yeah.
I got. Yeah. Damn, he even knew it was Sullenberger. That's pretty good,
Yeah.
Keith.
Yeah, man. That was a big deal, though. Him landing that plane in the Hudson, that's a
Oh,
huge
yeah.
deal.
Sure was.
Yeah.
I bet he
So
didn't
move.
have a screwdriver and just a bunch
Yeah,
of rails before he did it.
yeah. But doing coke and having an argument with his ex-wife and then making a
Yeah.
screwdriver
And then doing
during the
that?
flight announcements and all that stuff. Yeah, man. I take
Good
a 26
luck.
minute nap.
That's
Come
like
on,
Babe
get
Ruth hitting all them
food
home runs, being all
going.
high and shit. Yeah,
Yeah.
Ohtani, that's impressive. Did you drink a six
You
pack,
do this?
smoke a
Yeah.
carton before you did
Did he have an
it?
old fashioned during the seventh inning stretch? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he fucking did. Did he pound two whiskeys during the national anthem? No, sir. Get him
No,
out. Get him
sir.
out. You drink the sugar-free. You drink the Gatorade with sugar in it. Oh, my bad.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow,
Oh,
badass.
you're playing
Yeah.
behind the eight ball. Get him off my fucking ballot.
I had vodka in my water bottle.
You're not drunk? All right. So as we move to the categories, I did actually mention my laugh out loud earlier when Harlan showed up at the beginning. He's talking about
Oh,
rustle
yeah,
us up
dude.
two daiquiris and a cocktail weenie. These actually just bring the booze up, got the weenie, and then
She's
him just saying,
offended.
bro, he showed up at the hotel. He said, I'm on the list. Like there's not a list. The two is just walking the hotel.
Room.
He said, y'all are up after then the
Yeah.
him and did that bump. He said, I need a Cocoa Puff. He's like, what's a Cocoa Puff? He's like, man, what? I'm here with a bunch of
What is it,
amateurs.
amateur hour?
Yeah.
Don Cheadle knew how to roll that one up, dude. That was a good touch. That was a good touch.
was good. I like
Yeah.
that.
Don Cheadle just snatching that cigarette, just doing it. Like, so polished the whole movie. And then, yeah, it
He
was
really,
awesome. Yeah.
He's
Don
like,
Cheadle was in his bag, man.
I had a life before I was a law student.
Yep.
But that's my laugh out loud. Cole, what had you laughing?
The airline owner saying it makes me, he's so good, it makes me want to go sniff a few lines and fly a jet. It's not funny, but it is also
That's
one of the
hilarious.
funniest lines of the movie.
Insane
But yeah,
thing to
John
say.
Goodman in the hospital is like the first scene that we get introduced to John Goodman is about as good of a scene that we've talked about. So that's the right answer, but I did love the guy saying it makes me want to go sniff a few lines of fly jet.
Yeah, that's funny as fuck. Yeah. Chris, what'd you have? What had you laughing?
Yeah, I like the sniff a few lines and fly jet line a lot. I like both of mine are kind of from early on. So when he's waking up in the hotel room and he's talking to his ex-wife, and he goes, "You call me at 7 in the morning in Orlando to shake me down for some tuition money." It's like in
Yeah.
retrospect, not funny at all because he's like a terrible person being terrible.
Yeah.
Like formulating that sentence has to be kind of funny. And then not too long after, when Nicole's on the porn set, and the guy's like, "We're putting the narratives back into porn, baby." I don't know why.
Put
I'm like,
the
why is this scene in this movie? What the fuck is going on? Like that
what is
scene feels like a fever dream. Like it's funny the whole time. Like, it feels like it's supposed to be in a different movie, and shit just keeps happening. And I'm like, did I accidentally change movies? What the fuck is going on? So
Yeah, that was
those
random.
two kill me. It's so random, dude. Like
So
it's
random.
comedic the entire time. Like it's not like stuff that you can randomly find from. Like
Now
it feels
that movie was
like it's
just
supposed to
like
be in a
out of
comedy album.
nowhere. Yeah.
That's supposed to be in The Hangover or some shit. It's like, no,
Yep.
it's in this very serious movie about abuse or substance abuse and faith. And it's like, is it?
Yeah.
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 All right, so for Mr. Mustang, I had two. We talked about James Badgedale as the cancer patient. Every morning is special. No such thing as accidents. That whole speech he had in the stairwell, and then of course, Harlan Mays, John Goodman as Harlan Mays was just he had two scenes, and he stole the absolute show in both of them. So I had two Mr. Mustangs. Cole, who'd you have?
So there are, I think, five people that could qualify for Mr. Mustang. You've named two
Yep.
of them, John Goodman, the cancer patient. Also, the airline owner was outstanding.
Yeah.
Like he was fucking amazing. Ellen Block was incredible. A lot of really good performance in this. SpongeBob popped up in the hotel
Bro,
room. Like
out of nowhere.
there's a lot of Mr. Mustangs. I think I have to go with John Goodman because he's just so good in this. But any of those are just like outstanding performances. And the airline owner, he was awesome. Alan Block was awesome. Like it really would be hard for me to like have to choose, but I guess I'd go with John Goodman.
Yeah, it's yeah, the airline owner was like if Jerry Jones had an airline.
Yeah.
Right.
He said, I don't even want the damn airline. The insurance company can have it. I like baseball. They're like, this is Georgia.
Everyone in
Everybody
Georgia.
loves baseball. They were just like, oh man, that shit, the just yes men around him. Like it was that scene. He's like, they don't count. I'm sorry. That
He's like, does he know he's going to jail? He's like pointing at him. He's like, does he know he's going to
he's like, my
prison?
clients don't go to jail. Like, imagine being so good at your job that you make somebody want to commit a crime because you know you can get out of it. Like, that's Don Cheadle. Yeah,
He
Don
was
Cheadle
okay
could
with
also be
how.
Mr. Mustang too, but he was in it a little too much.
Yeah,
We
just a
didn't even
little.
talk about how great he was in this. Like, he
He's
was
so
just
good in
fucking
this. The problem
phenomenal.
is everybody else is so good, and he
Yeah.
has like he gets to be good Don Cheadle, and he's amazing at it. And like you trust him as an attorney, you'd be like, that's who I'm hiring right now. Like all of his scenes that he gets to stretch his legs, he crushes. But yeah,
Oh, yeah.
like everybody else gets to have something like a drug addiction or just something like that makes your character that sounded
Like, just
bad,
kind of pop.
but
I know what you
that
mean,
gives
though.
your character a little something else to work with besides just being an attorney,
Right.
which usually is perfect because you can just be this massive personality.
All right, Chris, who is your Mustang?
I had two. I had the same two as you, man. I had James Badgedale and John Goodman. It's like we talked about it. I talked about
Let's
that
just
scene
give
with
it to
James
him.
Badgedale. James
Badsdale
Badgedale.
gets it. Sorry,
I mean,
Goodman.
because that's like perfect. That's like that's the name of the game, right? He really just shows up for the one scene and he does most of the talking in the scene. And he cooks. He's just so phenomenal, man.
But
Like, it's got to be hard to have one scene leave that lasting of an impact in the movie where Denzel is around for the other hour and 57 minutes. So, and like you said, John Goodman is just great as his character. He's hilarious as it. He's just a guy who, once he shows up in the movie, you're just kind of, you're pulled into his gravity because he's just entertaining to watch. But
oh,
those are my.
absolutely. He's a black hole in the best possible way. I don't even know how to
Right.
just
Yeah.
legit.
Like, I thought that James Badge, like, that has to be like a tough card to pull. Like, it has to feel like it's going to be impossible. It's going to feel like too intimidating. But at the same time, like, it's so small, it won't even matter. But at the same time, you're like, this can be my shot. This can be my one chance. So,
And man, and he
take
fucking,
that and run.
yeah,
Right, yeah.
that's it. That's
Okay.
Mr. Mustang. Sorry, John Goodman.
Well,
He
he's gonna
got
show
it.
back.
He got it in Raising Arizona, so it's fine.
Yeah,
that is true.
As we move on to Wrench Due, I'm gonna bring him up again. John Goodman is my Wrench Due, man. He acted
That's
like
fair.
a, he's in two scenes, and he in both scenes it was just like the John Goodman show. He's like, I'm on the list. Excuse me, darling, I'm on the list. You know what I mean? That was just his thing. Like he came in and he just absolutely crushed. So I apologize for having him literally in three straight categories, but that I would feel
One of the best
guilty.
parts of the movie, man.
He was incredible. Harling Mays, Harling, Harling, darling, Harling. And so that was my rinse due was him. Cole, who'd you have?
I'm gonna go with Denzel. As much as I agree with you on John Goodman, I just do think that this is such a interesting part for Denzel in a time of his career where he just didn't really do stuff like this. We have an expectation of what he's going to be able to do, and we know he's going to knock it out of the park regardless of what he does. And I do find it interesting that he decided to do this, and this part was perfect for him. We just talked about how there's just not really anybody else that could do it, much less do it better. So that's rinse due for me. So Denzel.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with it. Chris, who'd you have for instance?
I went with Denzel as well. Just
Yeah.
for a lot of reasons that we've mentioned here today, it's just, as we started off, no one else can just do what he does, right? And there are just things that he does, and we're going to my best scene that it's really just like some people can play half of it, some people can play a quarter of it. You're just not going to find anyone else who can play the entire role in specific scenes as well as he does, right? And it's not any knock on any other people. This is filled with. Like, everyone in this is good. I think that's what makes a Denzel role like even more impressive. Like, on top of the fact that it's a, as you can always expect Denzel to be great, but it's not one of those roles where he just gets to be normal, great, and kind of coast because everyone else is like trying to play catch. But everyone else in this is just phenomenal. And he just takes it to another level and he gets us to grapple with all the things that we've discussed here. And I think that, if you get someone who doesn't play that role right, maybe you don't feel the same thing that you do. I'm sure there's a way that someone else would play this role that would make you feel more sympathetic for him than you do. And I think like you this he gets you to feel the right amount of bad for him and like the correct amount of nah, you kind of gotta suffer something. Like yeah, I know
Yeah.
your fucking eye hurts and you have to walk with that cane, but that doesn't feel like enough. Like you're kind of out there going crazy. So it's like there are probably some other people who get you to hate him maybe stronger than you maybe should, guys who can play it and make you love maybe a bit more than you should. And Denzel just finds that sweet spot and just does it so well and carries so much of this movie. Like, again, it's well put together outside of him, but it's a lot of the themes he really has to hit every beat perfectly to get you to feel it. And I mean, boy, does he ever.
Yeah, I was actually reading the trivia. That's a good point. In the trivia, he was quoted as saying, he said, "It's not about farts, it's about family, and
It's
fuck you, you
about
can't do what
family
I
and
do."
fuck you, I can't do what I do. Yep, that was Denzel.
Yeah, he said
Denzel text.
word for word. All right, so moving on to the Diesel, I actually went with substance abuse and alcohol, drugs, whatever the vice is, but I just think that it's just tough, and obviously something that Denzel struggled with the entirety of the movie and caused him to make terrible decisions, but also he couldn't help it because it had such a strong grip on him, and he couldn't really get away from it. So that's my Diesel. Cole, what'd you have?
So this is going to be an unpopular opinion. So buckle up.
Ready?
I think the character of Nicole, like not necessarily her as a Diesel character in the movie. I don't think that we need that character or that role in the movie at all. I actually, in fact, think that it cheapens this movie and makes it not as good as it could be. And what I don't want to go out is that I think that Kelly Riley was bad because she fucking crushed it in this movie and she
Oh,
was
yeah.
fantastic at this part. I just don't know that we necessarily needed this character because I think that all of the things that we were trying to accomplish with it, and then it just ended up abruptly, right? Like it just kind of stops and there isn't really much of a payoff for it. I think that all the things we were trying to use her to kind of show is like him hitting rock bottom. All of that could have been done with the scenes with the co-pilot, with the scenes with Margaret, all of those same type of things, that those conflicts that we talked about were more important to the movie. And it's telling because throughout this entire episode, we barely talked about her, right? And not Kelly Riley, just the character of Nicole, because it is not a super important thing to the movie. And I think it made the movie a little too long and is probably why it doesn't work 100% for me.
Yeah, and I think that with her, I actually agree with that. With her, I feel like the most important part that she really did was that AA scene that she took Denzel to, but that was more so just to show him at the meeting, and it being not well received, and him just leaving. He's like, "I don't need to be here." But that could have been done with anybody, right? Like Charlie could have taken him, or Hugh could have taken him.
Absolutely. I would have liked to have seen, instead of that scene, him interacting with one of the survivors or something like that, right? Like something that where he has that guilt of making a mistake, and then him being seen in that person's eyes as a hero, knowing well that he did something that he's still not hopefully gonna pay for, is kind of like I would have liked to have seen a scene like that and maybe a little more time with some of the other characters, because I do think that like the substance abuse that they're talking about with her is just very different than what we had talked about throughout the movie. And not to say that addiction is an addiction, I just mean that like her addiction was so different from what we had been talking about throughout the movie. So I just felt like it was a little out of place isn't the right word, but I do think that we could have explored his exact sickness a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with it.
So
Chris.
that's mine. Sorry.
No, you're good. Chris, who's your Diesel? Who is your Diesel?
Oh, sadly, fellas, it's Whip Whitaker. You know what I mean? Like we've talked this whole thing about how he wrestles with it and he reckons it and understands that what he did was wrong. And ultimately, the thing that he does doesn't cause the main problem, right? Like, despite that, he's able to. It's unfortunate, not unfortunate, but it's odd to say, like, overcome the fact that he was drunk and invert and then land an airplane. But it's just like, again, it maybe feels like I'm being the moral police, but it's that, like, kind of grappling to know that, he put himself in a situation to where, what if he had have been, slightly more drunk, or what if he would have been buzzed or kind of fucked up in, like, a weirder way, where obviously the expectation is when those kind of parts on a plane break and, you have to think, oh, I better turn it upside down. Like, it's just like, just die, you know what I mean? Just I feel like that's like you're just gonna end up dead. If I ever been in a situation where, like, the best thing I can do is flip this, whatever I'm in upside down, I think the likely course, like, you're probably just supposed to die in that scenario. And, it's nice that he is a guy who's capable of turning it upside down, doing all this stuff to, save him. But at the same time, it's like you're on an airplane drunk, man. Like, what are we doing here? And it's not even just like you're just hungover from the night before. No, you were actively having drinks on the plane. So, I hate it for him. He was battling a very nasty monster. So I don't want it to come off as like I have no sympathy for that, because it's kind of what I went to school for, and I've had jobs offered to work with people who suffer from addiction, so I certainly understand and I know how debilitating it might be, but that's a tough beat, real bad situation that guy put himself in, but he did the right thing in the end, I think. He made
Yeah,
some tricky
maybe
left turns along the way.
A ton. Maybe
It's
the
the
diesel
unfair diesel.
The diesel should have been maintenance or not changing out that
The
jack screw.
airplane, yeah.
Oh yeah, all
I
those should
was,
have been. Yeah, what the fucking
I was gonna
12,
say the
100 more
airplane,
hours?
or has there ever been a more impactful missing of locking a door before?
Oh,
Like him being able to get to the liquor. Yeah.
And I was gonna ask you, I had that question queued up and I scrolled past it, but would he have been left alone in that room that night? As important as that trial would have been, would he have been left alone in that room?
No.
Right?
I don't
I
think
feel
so.
like they would have. I just think that the situation, like they took all of the precautions they could have. I don't know that he wouldn't have just stayed at that guy's house. Like it was working. I don't know that why they needed to take him to the hotel, I guess. That's my bigger thing. It's like
9, 10 days sober, right? Like it's not like he
right.
was like 8
and
months.
everything was going extremely well. Like that was the main
right.
thing. They were talking about how lovely his home was. Thank you for doing this for me. Like everything was going well. And it gave him a sense of a purpose because he didn't want to let dude down. And then when you remove him from that situation where he's like, you can't drink in my house, you can't do any of this sort of stuff. When you remove him from that situation, you remove some of the motivation he had to not drink, right? And so I think that that was the mistake, not necessarily leaving him by himself. I think that just removing him from a situation that was better off and putting him in a new high-stakes situation was the wrong choice.
Yeah, somebody sleeps in that room with them. Like even if there's
I still think security checks
roll
in.
out bed or something, like having that guy just at the
Yeah,
front.
CeeLo.
There's somebody. Yeah, CeeLo.
Also, how did he
door
not
every
hear
3 hours.
anything?
Right.
Yeah, that
yes
one was fucked up. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like dude, it looked like he drove a forklift in there. Like there's like there's no way he didn't hear that.
Yeah, CeeLo stays out front, and
that
then
might be Diesel. CeeLo might be Diesel.
Man,
he sucked his job.
Yeah,
he was great.
Do your job, man.
Yeah, open the door every 2 hours or something. Do something. You got to do something out there.
Gotta
Right.
Do something out there. Hit somebody.
Yeah. All right. So for best scene, I went with the. With, it's hard
There's
to say.
No need to posture here, Keith.
Yeah. The plane crash is tough to say. It's like a best scene.
Yeah.
But man, it's. It was pretty freaking awesome. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not
Yeah.
gonna lie. Like the way it was shot and everything, it was pretty cool. And then just Denzel's composure was awesome as he's trying to keep Ken and Margaret calm, and he's giving them instructions, but also he's like,
"I'm gonna roll it."
Whenever he gets to like the "Are we gliding" line, and the whole scene just kind of goes quiet too. That was awesome.
Oh man. That's the shit, man. Movies fucking rule.
he said we're inverted, and Control was like, "Did you say inverted?" And they're having that conversation, and then he's
I like
like,
when he had dumped the gas like 20 minutes before that dude said, "You're approved to dump gas," and he says, "Thanks."
The gas gone, and then just the shot of the left wing hitting the church,
oh
and then
man,
he's
good
like,
stuff.
"Brace for impact," and then
it's
just
scary as hell below,
dude. Yeah. Just that rotation from the wing back to whip. Oh man, it was some good things going right there. So that was my best scene. Cole.
That's it. I mean, that's it, man. That's again one of my favorite set pieces of all time. Like, and I know
incredible.
That sounds inflammatory, but I'm being very serious. That scene
No, it's
is
all back you up.
I think about it all the time, man. That shit rocks. And it is just perfect. It is like there are very few movies or scenes that are just perfection. And that is one of those scenes.
It's solid.
And so it's got to be that.
Yep. Chris.
Yep. Like Cole said, no posturing needed. Just going to get right to it. It's the same scene. It's phenomenal. Like, you watch it. My stomach was like dropping. Like, I think I was like
Literally.
holding my breath. Like,
And I
I
don't know how
felt
many times I've
weird.
seen it. Yeah.
I was
Yeah,
sweating. Like, I felt weird. Like, I was on the plane just watching it. Cause, like, everything that they need to convey there, like, that sense of urgency and trying to get it inverted, that sense of, like, we sure are losing altitude pretty quick. Like, all the things that would make something like that so scary or so just perfectly just conveyed to you, right? And again, the performance, not just from Denzel, like, obviously he's Denzel, but like everyone's performance across that scene is like pretty good, and it
amazing.
really sells on how awful and terrifying that is. And it's just one of those set pieces that you're just like, I can't believe you have to make the rest of the movie after this. Like, that's not, like, I'd be like, all right, let's cut this shit off
Sucks,
right
man.
now because
I
I
feel
don't know
like
if I'm supposed
almost
to do
we
that.
should have not seen it till the end. Like it should
Like,
have just like everything goes
you know,
black, we go through the whole movie and then we see it.
that would have actually been crazy. That would have been hard, and that probably would have, it would have saved it from that
Been like
Yip
a
Yip
monster
Yay kind of
movie.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the
Like
big
some
monster
Jason reference.
reveal.
Turns into Friday the 13th. Yeah, it turns to
Yeah.
Godzilla at that point.
It's the Babadook.
Yeah.
Especially with a
I
name like
like that
Babadook.
comparison.
Cole, did you see anything
I
on
could
the
take the
award?
Babadook, by the way. Just gonna put that out there. I could fuck the
No.
Babadook up. Not
Oh,
related to anything, but like
I
when
got
he
your back.
saw him, like,
Me
I
I got your
reckon I
back,
could
dog.
take him.
Yeah.
He's not gonna be
Me and
my
my
dad back at
buddies.
my house making all that noise. Fuck no. I'm kicking his
No.
ass.
Me and my buddies would have beat that up with beat him up with a hammer.
Yeah. Me and my buddies would have killed E.T. with a hammer. I can tell you that. Maybe my favorite tweet ever. I have it
Of
saved. Like,
all
I have a
time.
screenshot of that on my phone. It's just so funny.
Killed E.T. with a hammer.
Killed him with a hammer.
So for awards, there was a nomination for original screenplay and Denzel got a nomination. No wins, but that's pretty solid.
Screenplay nom kind of rules, I won't lie.
Yeah, that is a that's dope.
That's a good pool.
Oh, absolutely. On trivia, I didn't find a ton. I mean, there's some
Gonna
good
roll with.
half decent stuff in there. It's actually loosely based on a flight that went down in 2000, but it was fatal. The pilot wasn't as successful as Whip was. And then this is Denzel's first Oscar nominated role in over 10 years, of course, Training Day and 01
Nice.
being the previous. Did you
He
guys
went
see
on
anything
quite
else?
a run after this, too.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I think he picked up a few like very quickly after this.
You guys see anything on the trivia side? I
No.
don't have anything for you.
Yeah, there
No,
was
I
a
meant to dive into it.
I wanted to look at like a lot of behind the scenes stuff on the plane sequence, the plane crash, but I didn't get around to it. I'm very sick about it. I'll probably still watch because that's just holy fuck, how do you pull that off?
Right.
Some pod trivia. You have back-to-back weeks of Sympathy for the Devil being played. That's odd, maybe.
Oh,
We had
yeah. Yeah.
it play for something else, but it wasn't consecutive. We had it in something, or I may have watched something else that had it in, but definitely it was in Tropic Thunder
Yeah.
last week, and that was in this. So,
Solid point, dude. Yeah.
yeah, Denzel comes out of that hotel room with those aviators on. I was like, is this the best shot I've ever seen?
Yep. So, yes, after flight in 2017, nominated for Best Actor in a Leading Role for Fences. He also was nominated for Best Motion Picture because he produced it. Roman J. Israel nominee and Tragedy of Macbeth nominee. So,
Nice. Let's go.
yeah, he kind of got on a heater after this.
Yeah, buddy. All right, buddy. So you can go watch Flight on Max. But Cole, we're back around to your pick. So what are we watching next?
Yeah, so I'm going to take us back in time to 1955. Sorry, guys. I know y'all love when I pick old movies, but
No,
we're
that's a
doing
good one.
another Alfred Hitchcock, Cary Grant film. One of my all-time favorite movies, To Catch a Thief. I don't know if you fellas have
Okay.
seen it yet.
I have not. I have not.
There are some scenes in it that will present as problematic nowadays. We're going to try to not let that ruin the movie, but anybody that dislikes that we do understand that. So but great movie outside of a couple things, but we'll talk about
Where can we find that?
it. It's on Paramount Plus and Amazon Prime, so you
All
got
right,
two options.
Let's
To Catch a
roll.
Thief, 1955.
Let's get it. So first got your flight on Max, and then we're either going to Paramount or Amazon Prime to Catch a Thief. But for all of us here at the Stream Team, Keith Evans, Cole Miller, Chris Lowry, I'm on the list. Harlan Mays, I'm on the list.
You got a Cocoa
Drunk
Puff.
right now.
You paid for this. It's
He's
yours. He hands him that coat.
gonna need
I like when Don Cheadle pays him, like put gives the money to the other dude, makes him like pay
it.
him.
Yeah.
He's like, you
Go
pay him.
on, pay him.
Yeah. He's
All
like,
Curly had, he's like, I got $80 on me.
I got
Don
80 bucks. Don
Cheadle's
Cheadle just had like 10 grand in his fucking wallet. Like, what was
Yep.
he doing with all that cash?
Don Cheadle, man. That's all I can say is Don.
Yeah, he
That
just
was a
robbed a
prop money.
casino with
That's
his
just Don
buddies.
Cheadle.
So,
That was all improv. Don
he
Cheadle
went on.
just had that.
Yeah, he
Lawyer was
actually had.
the
Lawyer, fuck me.